Good morning. You're tuned in to Community Radio, listener-supported KGNU. I'm Maeve Conran, and coming up on today's Morning Magazine, the finalist being considered by the City of Boulder to investigate complaints against local police officers took questions during an online Q&A last night. We'll hear more coming up after headlines. Then a ballot initiative to increase setbacks from new oil and gas drilling started gathering signatures yesterday in a bid to get on the November statewide ballot. We'll hear from the organisers. We'll hear then about Longmont's Pride Fest and how they're celebrating with a motorcade down Longmont's Main Street tomorrow. A listener commentary followed by Trends Diary. Then at 8:30, Roger Wendell is in for Connections. Today, his guest is John Perkins, who will be speaking about his new book, Touching the Jaguar. But first, we'll begin with the latest local headlines. On Thursday, Governor Polis announced that he was appointing Attorney General Phil Weiser as the special prosecutor into an investigation into the death of Elijah McLean at the hands of Aurora Police last August. Polis signed an executive order saying that Weiser will investigate the case and, if the facts support it, criminally prosecute any individuals whose actions caused the death of Elijah McLean. In a subsequent statement, Attorney General Weiser said that the investigation will be thorough, guided by the facts and worthy of public trust and confidence in the criminal justice system. Three members of Aurora City Council have called for an independent investigation. This is after the City Council cancelled a contract for a third-party investigator over concerns that the investigator may be biased. Elijah McLean died in August 2019 after an interaction with police. A caller to 911 reported that a man was wearing a ski mask and waving their arms around. McLean was simply walking home from a convenience store and listening to music. He was not armed and he did not present a threat to anyone. Police put him in a chokehold and injected him with ketamine. He suffered two heart attacks on his way to the hospital. The Adams County District Attorney did not bring charges against the officers involved. In a statement defending that decision that was issued on Thursday, District Attorney Dave Young said that ultimately, while he may share the vast public opinion that Elijah McLean's death could have been avoided, it's not his role to file criminal charges based on opinion, but rather on the evidence revealed from the investigation and applicable Colorado law. The ACLU on Thursday filed a lawsuit against the City of Denver on behalf of Black Lives Matter 5280 and individual plaintiffs who were injured by police while protesting police violence in late May and early June. According to a statement from the ACLU, the lawsuit challenges the use of tear gas and less lethal weapons that police unleashed against the nonviolent protesters. The suit says that the officers' unjustified attacks on protesters' First and Fourth Amendment rights caused both physical and emotional injuries. It also says that the police actions violated the Denver Police Department's own internal use of force policies. Statues and monuments related to the Civil War are being taken down all across the United States. In Denver, the Civil War statue of a cavalryman that sits in front of the Colorado State Capitol was knocked down from its post around 1:30 a.m. on Thursday morning. Steve Miller has more.
According to the state's website, it honors the Colorado soldiers who fought and died in the Civil War. It was erected in 1909 and was funded by the Pioneers Association and the state of Colorado. In 1864, Colorado's 1st and 3rd Cavalry attacked Chief Black Kettle's peaceful camp of Cheyenne and Arapaho Indians on the banks of Sand Creek in southeast Colorado. Soldiers killed more than 150 villagers. Some claim that the statue memorializes the massacre at Sand Creek. There's now a plaque at the monument that is meant to clarify the controversy. The plaque says by designating Sand Creek a battle, the monument's designers mischaracterized the actual events. Governor Jared Polis feels that the statue is there to honor Colorado soldiers who fought to end slavery and vows to repair the monument. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
Late last night, another statue was torn down in downtown Denver. Close to midnight, a statue with ties to Christopher Columbus at Civic Center Park was torn down by protesters. Denver 7 reports that the statue had a plaque at its base honoring Columbus. In 1992, the American Indian Movement called for the removal of the plaque, but it remained. Slightly cooler temperatures today, highs in the upper 70s, with showers likely throughout the day, warming up over the weekend, highs getting close to 90 degrees. Ahead of the current nationwide civil unrest related to police brutality towards people of colour, a Boulder police incident in 2019, perceived by many as racial profiling, initiated an overhaul of police practices. The city decided it was time to hire an independent police monitor. KGNU's Roz Brown says Boulder residents got to hear from the sole finalist for the position during an online session last night.
Boulder held a virtual town hall question and answer session with the final candidate for the city's first independent police monitor position last night. The monitor will be tasked with setting the operational philosophy of the office and will develop and maintain standard operating procedures. A Boulder press release says the monitor will ensure that all matters are handled in a thorough, objective, fair, and impartial manner. The sole candidate for the job, Joseph Lapari, said he recognized the current lack of trust in police.
When you have a lack of trust in law enforcement and government in general, particularly law enforcement, you can also have an accompanying sort of erosion of commitment to and expectation of constitutional policing. And so I think this lack of trust in law enforcement is something that it's been a longstanding problem in particular communities, but I think it has sort of blown up more broadly, obviously, recently. And so this affects us all. This is something that we're all invested in and we all have to work on.
If hired, Lapari would come to Boulder from Chicago. Previously, the Deputy Inspector General for Public Safety inside the Office of Inspector General since August 2018. The city job description says his position would include supporting the establishment of criteria and policy around reviewing, monitoring, assisting, overseeing, and advising on the investigation of internal and citizen complaints and other administrative investigations. Lapari took questions from those on the call. He believes with the current civil unrest, he could be an asset to Boulder as its first independent police monitor.
First one, why is oversight or monitoring important? And this is just from a very practical perspective. As I said, from my view is that this is in many ways the unfinished business of the civil rights movement. But I think it's important to recognize, even though I sort of came to this field through the lens of race, that a lack of trust in law enforcement actually impacts everyone, from issues of clearance rates, departments and police being able to solve crimes, to financial liability for taxpayers, to, you know, a more general, I think, erosion. You can, when you have a lack of trust in law enforcement and government in general, but particularly law enforcement, you can also have an accompanying sort of erosion of commitment to and expectation of constitutional policing. And so I think this lack of trust in law enforcement is something that, you know, it's been a longstanding problem in particular communities, but I think it has sort of blown up more broadly, obviously, recently. And so this affects us all. This is something that we're all invested in and we all have to work on together. A lot of the pain, a lot of the trauma vicariously through people. And, you know, it's certainly not the same as experiencing it yourself, but it is sufficient. The things we see in this work are sufficient to allow you to understand the perspective of people, of experiences that you haven't had yourself.
Boulder decided it was time to hire an independent monitor following a 2019 incident in which an African-American student from Naropa University was approached by a police officer while picking up trash in his yard near downtown. The officer questioned whether he belonged there and called for backup. The incident outraged local residents and forced City Council to unanimously approve recommendations from the Police Oversight Task Force to establish an independent police monitor with the primary role of investigating complaints against police officers. For KGNU, I'm Roz Brown.
Signature collection began on Thursday for a statewide ballot measure that would increase setbacks for oil and gas drilling. Anne Lee Foster with Safe and Healthy Colorado, the group behind Initiative 174, says the measure would create a 2,500-foot safety zone around homes, schools and waterways from any new drilling. It's almost identical to Proposition 112 that was on the 2018 ballot.
So we have decided to go forward with the 2,500-foot setback. And it also includes Superfund sites. That's one change from the 112 version of the language. And today we are launching. So we have rolled out a full campaign. We're on social media, digital marketing, and we are now accepting signatures via mail and email.
In 2018, nearly 75% of voters in Weld County rejected Proposition 112. Patricia Nelson, an environmental activist from Greeley who is supporting 174, says she hopes voters in Weld County will this time recognize the need for tighter restrictions in the industry.
I think there are a lot of people in Weld County that feel the same that I do. And really, the only way that we're going to be able to make a change happen across the strait is by making a statewide change like this. You know, in my community, you know my story. My son goes to Bell Romero. You know, we've been calling for the governor to step in and shut down the wells, for years at this point. And so I think really the only way that we're going to be able to change people's minds is to make a statewide change. And like I said, there are a lot of people that do feel the same way that I do, but a lot of people are afraid to speak out. And, you know, I said this back in March when I saw you last, and I'll keep saying it, is you cannot keep the air in Weld County. You cannot keep the toxins in Weld County. And so this ballot measure is not only going to protect people in Weld County, it's going to protect everybody across the state.
The oil and gas industry has spent considerable money to defeat similar ballot measures in the past, including Prop 112. That saw tens of millions of dollars being spent by the industry to defeat it. If Initiative 174 makes it to the ballot in November, there will be several other statewide measures, as well as the Senate race. A recent report in the Colorado Sun showed that oil money is already flowing into that race towards Republican incumbent Cory Gardner. Fracking is still an issue, however, in the Senate Democratic primary, with John Hickenlooper's history of leading fights against communities trying to enact local control over drilling when he was governor of Colorado. Ann Lee Foster says the other candidate in the primary race, Andrew Romanoff, supports their initiative.
Andrew Romanoff has endorsed Initiative 174. This is an issue that affects Coloradans on their front doorstep. So it's very important, I think, for whoever gets the nomination to really understand the impact that this industry has had, and to really be willing to make a stand. Both candidates had taken stances previously against initiatives, but Romanoff has since endorsed, which I think says something about his further understanding of the issue.
Organizers must submit more than 124,000 valid signatures by early August to qualify for the ballot. Longmont Pride Week is still going on despite COVID-19. Organizers have moved many events into a virtual space, and they're getting creative when it comes to the annual Pride Parade, which will take place tomorrow. KGNU's Rosanna Longo spoke with Michal Duffy, the Education and Program Manager for Out Boulder County.
We want to invite everyone to participate in Longmont Pride Week. It is not cancelled. We still have events. We've had events going on all week, and we have some exciting events on Saturday. Saturday we're having a motorcade because we can't actually have our physical march like we usually do through downtown Longmont. So instead we're going to have a motorcade, basically a car parade, so people can still congregate and join, but physically distance safely in their own cars. Everyone's going to decorate their cars with posters or paint with the messages that they want to share. We're here, we're queer, and we are celebrating. We know from our surveys that we did of the LGBTQ community earlier in the pandemic outbreak and then another month later that social isolation is a serious issue that is facing our LGBTQ community and everyone in our community. It can especially hit marginalized populations especially hard. It's so important that we do keep having Longmont Pride, even if we are physically distanced. We need to celebrate this now more than ever with all the attention and all the social tensions that are rising in our community right now and around the country. We have to come together and to actually see one another, even if it's distance from a car in the motorcade or by participating. And we're gonna have a Longmont Pride program on live stream that you can watch via Facebook on Saturday from 12 to 1:30. Just go to Out Boulder County's Facebook page, facebook.com/OutBoulderPride. If you want to participate in the motorcade, you can go to our website, outboulder.org, and find our Longmont Pride page and sign up by Friday morning to participate in that. We already have over 100 cars signed up, and most cars have more than one people. So there's going to be a good community showing. Even if it doesn't look like it does usually, it's still important for us to gather together to show that solidarity, that we are still here, we are still an active community, and that we value one another and seeing one another. So even if you can't do the motorcade, really invite you to watch the live stream. We're going to have a photo collection of people showing their pride and telling a little bit about themselves, pictures from the motorcade. We're going to have some musical performances, some speakers, some of our typical shenanigans and activities, even if done from a virtual space. So we really hope that you can tune in and show your pride.
Why is it so important to connect even in a virtual way, like I'm doing with you right now?
I mean, social connection, I think, is so important for just our humanity. It's a basic part of being human, that we are social creatures. Even the introverts like myself, right? We're still social creatures and we need to connect. And if we can't do so in person, we need to be able to check in on each other. So virtual is what we have for now. That's what we can make the most of. The importance of connecting can't be undervalued. Social isolation is a big contributing factor to poor mental health, which affects every aspect of our life. That's part of why we've taken all of our weekly social and support groups to a virtual online format, so we can still definitely connect and just see one another's faces, even if it's through a computer screen, to remind ourselves that we're here. And even to see people's backgrounds sometimes is fun, that you can get to know folks in a different way. And it lends itself sometimes to different kinds of connections and conversations. So it just is so important.
This coming together and this belonging to a wider group is so important. There's young people that are also connecting with civil rights movements. If you can speak about that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting that folks can do so much even if they're acting from their home, by raising awareness about different organizations, by writing and educating others and making their voice heard around what's going on in the world and connecting. That all these oppressions are connected. And if one of us is not free, none of us are free. And I think that there's starting to be more awareness around that in our community, which I think is instrumental to addressing systemic issues such as police brutality. We have to make these connections and we have to realize that it's affecting all of us. And we have to stand together or show up and be together, even if it's virtual.
The Out Boulder County Longmont Pride Motorcade happens tomorrow from 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. on Main Street. And if you want to sign up to participate in it, you must register by 10 a.m. this morning. Find out more at outboulder.org. Time now for a listener commentary.
Can we just say it? Both major political parties have failed the people and sold out to big corporate dollars. Corporate media, too, has been the beneficiary of $5.2 billion for pharmaceutical ads in a single year alone, and is projected to take in windfall $6 billion profits for candidate political ads this year. So why should media seek to change the status quo that serves their bottom line? Almost all of corporate establishment Democratic Party presidential candidates in 2020, each of whom received large cash donations from health industry groups, have advocated a public option for health reform. Whether they call it Medicare for those who want it or Medicare X, it is a false start. A public option remains part of a fragmented, administratively complex, multiple profit-centered private health insurance financing system that wastes hundreds of billions of dollars annually and, according to evaluation by the Congressional Budget Office, fails to either control costs or reduce numbers of uninsured, remaining about 30 million. A public option is a gift to private insurers who cherry-pick the healthiest, most profitable clients while relegating all of the sickest to the government-funded public option. In the Colorado Democratic Senate primary between Andrew Romanoff and John Hickenlooper, Colorado Public Radio continues to portray the public option as a viable choice while falsely asserting that Medicare for All would raise taxes for everyone. In truth, dozens of studies demonstrate that Medicare for All results in annual savings averaging $500 billion, with most families paying out less for health costs. The COVID pandemic magnifies the need for the Medicare for All floor of health coverage. Establishment media consistently portray John Hickenlooper as the Democratic Party's favored candidate. That should be qualified as corporate Democratic Party favorite. Andrew Romanoff has been the clear preference of grassroots Colorado Democrats throughout caucuses to the state convention. Raising hundreds of millions of corporate dollars, the National Democratic Party establishment is once again placing its boot on the scale for their favorite corporate candidate, Hickenlooper, who qualified for the ballot by paying a political firm $420,000 for signature gathering. U.S. politics of the highest bidder serves crony capitalists who purchase candidates and policy to benefit their bottom line. Before voting, everyone should view OpenSecrets.org, revealing the controlling influence of big money on candidates that trumps the people's interests and crushes democracy. This is Michelle Swenson.
That was a listener commentary from Michelle Swenson. She produces the Truth Seekers Health Justice podcast as a member of the Denver Open Media. She's a former nurse. Time now for Trends Diary.
Time now for Trends Diary, where Boulder County residents of all ages share personal experiences that relate to a pressing community need. The focus for now is on our shared need to connect and solve problems, despite the increased isolation we're all experiencing during the COVID-19 pandemic. This project is brought to you in partnership with Community Foundation Boulder County.
Dear Trends Diary, my name is Lonnie Gordon, and I'm the Program Director for Focus Reentry, and this is our story. Focus Reentry is a nonprofit mentorship program that supports the local incarcerated population before and after they get released. People in the Boulder County Jail are usually in there anywhere from a week to a year, and we're working with people who've been there at least a few months. During this pandemic, much of our work has shifted. It's been great to watch how the community and other organizations have come together, getting creative about how to support people in this time. Focus is helping most of our clients over the phone instead of in jail and doing deliveries, helping our clients get medications, enroll in benefits, get necessary supplies, find work, and so on. We're helping people to navigate some of the online services that are hard for people who don't have access to computers. We are excited that we have been able to shift some of our funds towards providing people with phones. This helps us to stay in touch with clients longer and helps them to access services that are now remote. We're taking donations. $33 gives somebody a phone and service for a month. $50 gives them that phone, plus some food, a backpack, and clothing. We're also accepting supplies such as hygiene, clothing, shoes, energy bars, sleeping bags, and jackets. It's important to have compassion for this population. The jail holds a large amount of our mentally disabled, homeless, addicted, and lower-income populations who have lost a lot of their support systems, many of who have committed lower-level crimes like trespassing or a possession charge. People lose so much when they go into jail. They lose their job, they lose their housing. If you're somebody who is teetering on that edge, it tends to push you right over. I can only imagine what it would be like to see the world in quarantine and not have a place of your own to quarantine or the resources to make yourself feel safe.
Feeling inspired? Do you have your own story of making connections or solving problems during this time of physical isolation? Then visit www.commfound.org. Look for Trends Diary and share your experience with Community Foundation Boulder County. Your submission could wind up on these KGNU airwaves.
Thanks for listening to The Morning Magazine here at KGNU.